California copepods have been discovered as far north as Prince William Sound, and scientists believe these small animals are verifying the Alaska coastal current. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. A research group from the University of Alaska Fairbanks found the copepods at the face of the Columbia Glacier this fall during a routine cruise to conduct zooplankton tows as part of the Institute of Marine Science's ongoing study of the Prince William Sound. The copepod is a small, rice-sized subtropical animal normally found off the coast of California and farther south. Scientists involved in the cruise speculate that temperature changes contributed to the subtropical animal's visit. The water is warming in the area by a degree or two. Although this change might not seem like much, it is central to the survival of the species through the Alaska coastal current, which begins in British Columbia and flows north adjacent to the coast. Apparently, each year, equatorial Pacific water, thought to be coming from California, is present in the British Columbia coastal area. The mixing of the warmer California waters and the northbound Alaska coastal current combines a variety of plants and animals, many of which are temperature-dependent for survival. Because the colder Alaskan waters are believed to prevent any breeding of the species, it is not likely that the intrusion of the copepods this year will have any impact on the marine environment. The larger significance, however, is the verification of the continuous Alaska coastal current and its ability to carry marine populations that originate much farther south up to Alaska. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC FM. A recent Environmental Protection Agency report on the warming of the Earth says research should begin now to prepare for a different world in the 21st century. However, at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, research on the subject has been underway for more than 20 years. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The Institute of Marine Science at the University of Alaska Fairbanks began studying fluctuations and variations of atmospheric carbon dioxide at the Naval Arctic Research Laboratory in 1961. One of three sites, the project continued through 1967. Although the lab was closed in 1980, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration created a baseline station that continues to collect observations near the Dewline site at Barrow. During the 1960s and early 70s, carbon dioxide was observed in the atmosphere over the Arctic ice pack by using NARAL-operated ice islands. These early studies found that the annual fluctuation of CO2 at Barrow was much greater than the other two locations. Highly concentrated in the atmosphere in the winter, the carbon dioxide was absorbed by vegetation during the summer. Early findings also revealed that carbon dioxide was increasing in the atmosphere at a rate of about one part per million per year. Worldwide, more and more baseline data stations are observing carbon dioxide and verifying that the CO2 levels in the atmosphere are increasing. Other research done through the Geophysical Institute is investigating sources for carbon dioxide in the Arctic, since sea ice and Arctic tundra regions transfer and transport a considerable amount of CO2. Other research done through the Geophysical Institute is investigating sources for carbon dioxide in the Arctic, since sea ice and Arctic tundra regions transfer and transport a considerable amount of CO2. Related studies are considering the impact of climate warming on permafrost. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC FM. Late this summer, an animal whose existence in Alaska has been suspected for years, but never confirmed, was live captured in a residential area in the Fairbanks North Star Burrow. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Inspection of a 7-month-old female pup that seemed strange in one neighborhood confirmed the dog-coyote mix. The animal has a coyote slender skull with almost no forehead. She has a dog's facial mask, a dew claw on her right foot, and the coloring and tail of a coyote. After a thorough examination at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Arctic Biology and clearance by the Fairbanks North Star Bureau and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the animal was released into her old neighborhood. Fitted with a radio transmitter collar, Brownie, as the hybrid is called, is regularly monitored by scientists. People in the neighborhood are cooperating with researchers by filling out forms when they observe her. An active heat cycle in November is expected to produce a litter of pups in January. It is hoped this first known hybrid in Fairbanks will lead scientists to others. In any event, she will be the basis for building and refining theory and is a tremendous opportunity for combining teaching and research. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Potential oil and gas development in the Chukchi Sea has resulted in extensive focus on the marine life in the area that provides the basis for subsistence hunting and fishing. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration funded scientists of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institutes of Marine Science and Water Resources to assess the marine life from Cape Lisburn north to Barrow. Using the NOAA ship Discoverer, the research group looked at the primary productivity in phytoplankton distribution and abundance, as well as the nutrient concentrations in the waters of the northern Chukchi Sea. The team also looked at the increased productivity of phytoplankton along ice edges. The distribution and abundance of kelp beds along the northern coast was also noted. Significantly, several kelp beds were located. These beds contribute to the higher productivity in the area. In fact, this research confirmed that the water between Cape Lisburn and Barrow has a rich benthic, or bottom-dwelling, plant and animal community, 10 times the biomass found in the Beaufort. This explains why benthic-dependent marine animals, such as the walrus, gray whale, and bearded seal, are so prevalent in the area, and why the area is a primary subsistence hunting and fishing zone. Another subcontractor with NOAA, LGL, a consulting firm, was on board ship as a co-investigator to determine how much and what kinds of fishes are available for subsistence use in that region. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. A major research project managed by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Marine Science could significantly impact the future of the Seward Peninsula and the state's fishing industry. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. A 6-year study proposed to the National Science Foundation received first-year funding this year for 2 University of Alaska Fairbanks marine scientists. The inner shelf transfer and recycling in the Bering Chukchi Seas, or ISHTAR, is a natural outgrowth of PROBES, or Processes and Resources of the Bering Sea Shelf. PROBES was a 6-year, multi-million-dollar, multi-institutional project also managed by 2 Institute of Marine Science professors. PROBES generated considerable knowledge about the Bering Sea Shelf and its food chain. Where PROBES concentrated on the outer shelf, ISHTAR focuses on the inner shelf in the shallow zone extending from St. Lawrence Island to the edge of the Chukchi Sea in the north. The UAF researchers, along with scientists from Denmark, Brookhaven, and New York, and the University of Washington, hypothesized that the Yukon River was dumping nutrients into the sea that resulted in rich blooms of phytoplankton that are the key to the seed's food chain. Through national science funding, the team spent 11 days at sea late this summer. This trip revealed that where the scientists expected to find high concentrations of nutrients, where the Yukon water clings to the Alaskan coast north and south of Norton Sound, there were none. What they did find were extremely high concentrations of nutrients in a colder current system coming from the Bering Sea around St. Lawrence Island and parallel to the Yukon system. As a result of this summer's observations, the scientists now believe that the warm water Yukon system is responsible only for the big spring bloom of phytoplankton in Norton Sound, but not the abundant productivity seen all summer in the area. The spring and summer high productivity, closer to St. Lawrence Island, is caused by a parallel cold current system enhanced by the shallowness of the water in this area and the light that then penetrates the shallow water. It is now expected that this research will produce a better understanding of the basis of subsistence fishing in this sparsely populated area and the potential for commercial fishing. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM.